Have you ever wanted to learn a new language? Maybe you were inspired by a recent international trip, became obsessed with a foreign film or TV show, wanted to communicate better with a loved one, or just felt like developing a new skill. With Rosetta Stone, learning a new language is easier than you thought. Rosetta Stone has been a trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Japanese, Dutch, and more. Learning is immersive and designed for long-term retention, so you fully learn to speak, listen, and even think in that language. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. Listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The following show may shock, disturb, and offend some viewers. The opinions, theories, and facts shared on this podcast are not widely accepted by the brainwashed masses, especially those who find dark humor offensive. Viewer discretion is advised.
This is a Hosehead Production.
Jeffrey Dahmer soaked in blood. The Unabomber blowing up. Waco, Texas, and Heaven's Gates. Aliens modified, men from apes. JFK shot in the head by the CIA. Bigfoot and the Mothman. Son of Sam talking to dogs again. Witches, ghosts, and goblins. Mysterious noise and hauntings. Dark arts in the skull and bones. Most celebrities are probably clones. So if you're feeling all alone, crack a beer and get stoned. I welcome you to the podcast, Strange Brew.
It's about to get strange.
Welcome, everybody, back to the show. Welcome to Strange Brew Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tomcat, a.k.a. Tom Thompson, the Raptilian. Check out all my music on all music platforms. I had a very controversial song just get released. So definitely check that out. It's called Extremist because I'm extremely extreme according to my government. But welcome to the show. I'm very excited for this. And who am I joined by?
Today you are joined by the Celtic Druids.
Hello, everybody. It's me again.
That's what you're going to... I think there's fairies in this episode, so that'd be a perfect fairy voice.
Oh, that works out perfect then.
Yeah, I want to stay in the Halloween season for a bit. If you did not watch the Halloween special that we did, that will be out by the time this is, everybody make sure to go watch it on YouTube and Rumble. I really push people to support Rumble if you like watching at least some of the episodes. They definitely are more worth it to watch on a video, have a drink. If you don't, just relax and eat some good poutine or something like that and watch some of the episodes that we've done, because the video aspects, especially for some of the specials, are definitely worth it to check it out. So everybody, thank you for watching, and the best way to support the show is on Patreon. But I have some coffee. It is an early morning, well, semi-early morning, and I got my Mars Attacks cup, but I got some peanut butter whiskey in it.
Mars Attacks. Let me see.
You can't see it because it's black, but like once I drink it more, you'll see it. It's like green and it's like kind of it's like see through. It's cool looking.
Spirit Halloween.
Yes, of course it was. I like staying in the spooky vibe. There's a lot of rabbit holes that we're going to be diving down. I know people are craving that content and they're craving the whole the deep down the hole of conspiracies. So we're definitely going to be traveling inside the rabbit's asshole as he carries us along down the hole. But I just wanted to do something fun.
Watch out for those hemis when you're going through.
What?
Watch out for those hemorrhoids when you're going through.
So this was interesting. I actually just stumbled upon this. It's the Bally Booty Forest. I don't know why I went. It's like some weird gypsy, but it's a
part of every time it's like this weird mix between like a gypsy with like some kind of a Western twang.
It's a portal to the Celtic underworld. Ooh, very scary.
Weird. I feel like every time you do that, actually, I always envision, you know, the dude outside the Titty Twister bar in From Dusk Till Dawn?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's like, you like pussy? You like ass?
Oh, yeah, come on in. That's so funny. Yeah, this is a weird story, to say the least. And you've never even heard of this, and this is in your neck of the woods, kind of. Kind of.
So, yeah, some people might say not so much, but yeah, no, I would. Like, I class Ireland as a united country, but yeah, it's in the north of Ireland, so it's like probably like a four and a half hour drive from where I am.
It'd be interesting to go check it out. And I was looking for stuff to watch on this, but a lot of people are just going into, there's a lot of videos on YouTube of people just going in and like, kind of like going like ghost hunting, or they're traveling around the forest looking for stuff. It's pretty weird. And you know, this peanut butter whiskey, I always want to try it. I got a pumpkin whiskey for this year and I was like, that was actually fairly good. I was drinking it like straight. But so somebody told me, he's like, get the peanut butter whiskey, and drink it with Dr. Pepper. So there's this pop brand I like that is like, there's no fake stuff in it. They use like cane sugar. They all use real ingredients. It's not like, it's probably still not great for you, but it's way better for you. Not as bad for you as like pop, where you have like people drinking Coca-Cola and it's literally boil that stuff and see that mixture that you're drinking. Cause it's literally like a gross syrup that is like inside of your body and probably stays there for long periods of time. Like they do clean off blood off the road with like Coca-Cola and stuff.
Yeah. Doesn't that shit turn like basically like tar?
Yes.
That you would see on the road.
Yeah. It's pretty disgusting, but this is like more of it's a better brand. And it like mixed the peanut butter whiskey with Dr. Pepper. And it's so good, man. It's so good. I'm going to be taking a back end on drinking soon and not doing it as often, especially on the show and stuff. But it's really tasty, man. As weird as that sounds.
I hate Dr. Pepper so much.
Really?
Like, so, like, to the point where I physically, like, I will heave when I take a mouthful of it.
Why? What's,
I don't know what it is about it. And I've tried, and, like, when I see and hear other people enjoy it so much, I'm like, okay, let me try again. And then I get it again, and I'm like,
It's like the all-dressed chip. It's like every flavor put into one thing. It's so weird. You've tried an all-dressed chip, have you?
I have.
You haven't? It's like more of a Canadian American thing. It's like, it's supposed to be every flavor in one chip.
Oh, wow.
That's why it's all dressed. It's so weird.
How was that experience?
A lot of people do like it. It is pretty tasty. It's like almost like a barbecue type of flavor kind of thing. I'm going to show this quick little video, and this is just a little peek into the Ballybully Forest of Northern Ireland. It does remind me of like that movie, The Ritual. Dude, I would not want to get stuck in a forest like that. Like those, I don't know what kind of trees they are. Those really tall, like There's not much branches on the trees. I can't remember what they're called. And it's just like, and they're so, it's like so thick and dense that it would just be frightening to like, because once you're stuck in there like that, if anyone has never seen the movie The Ritual, it's a it's actually a really good movie of being like kind of trapped in the forest. That's to do with the Wendigo type of creature that exists within the woods that might be hunting down these guys, and you're not really aware of it till the end, but it's pretty freaky. And it's much like, you know, the Blair Witch Project, where you're just like stuck and there's no way out. And like, realistically, like, if you can't find your way out, you're going to be done for. You're dead. You'll either starve to death, stuff like that. So it would be pretty scary to be in one of these forests.
Forests are something that always kind of freaked me out. And I think that's probably why I'm like drawn to movies like The Blair Witch and The Ritual. Mm-hmm. I'm actually reading the book of The Ritual at the minute, which is quite good as well.
That's cool.
Yeah, because I find it's fun. When I'm reading the book, I'm like visualizing like things like that are on screen right now. And I'm trying to like put myself in the situation and be like, that has got to be such a horrible situation. That Ritual movie, I actually really enjoyed it. And I feel like the characters in that are written in such a way that I find it more believable in a sense, because they do kind like, for the most part, they behave like I think a normal group of guys probably would. Yeah, I know, yeah. We all like be like, you know, oh, well, we're all tough guys. And if that happened to me, I'd punch the fucking Wendigo in the head and I would like, yeah. I would be able to get out and I would, you know, I would MacGyver tools and do this and do that. But like that group of friends fall apart really, really quickly.
Yeah, you, and it would, cause you'd have like, there's always gonna be that one guy that's like more scared than the rest. And yeah, it's pretty freaky. I just stumbled upon this story and it sounded really interesting, so I kind of wanted to get into it. So it's in the rural wildlands of Larne, I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Northern Ireland is a peaceful little trek of idyllic woodland called Ballybully Forest. Now, it sounds like Indian now. The Ballybully Forest.
Oh, God. It's just getting weirder. Does it now? Like a Western Indian dude.
Ballybully Forest. I poop on the streets. Although the forest as we see it today was largely planted in 1957, this place has a history much more ancient than that. And beneath this placid, quiet veneer and overlaying the forest that exists here before is a rolling darkness and tales of druids and ghosts and strange monsters and magic. Indeed, the quaint Ballybully Forest has steadily over the centuries acquired a grim reputation as a very haunted, even cursed place full of ghosts, monsters, and more. And people claim it's one of the most haunted forests in the world, which is pretty wild. And it's like, for all like people listening, it's just like, we're showing, obviously, it's just images of really dense forestry, I guess you could say. And it would just be frightening to be stuck in there and you have nowhere to go, man. So weird. Yeah, Ballybully Forest. It's a strange name, but it's got to give it to the Irish. It's like some drunk guy is like, that sounds great.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be something scarier.
I know. But it kind of does sound like mystical, you could say, right? Of like you the idea of fairies. There's massive, like there's a lot of folklore in Ireland about fairies and banshees and stuff like that. And especially the druids gathering around and
created Halloween, didn't we?
It's true. It's true. The area has been known as a malevolent local loke for centuries. So just a malevolent forest for centuries, and was long avoided by travelers. It is said that during the 1700s, this place where countless souls enter only to vanish and never leave, disappearing without a trace. The Celtic traditions of the region painted the woods as a place of spirits and mysterious druids who were said to worship elements and old pagan gods, the elementals, I mean, and who carried out strange and arcane rituals in the gloom, and often supposedly they were making sacrifices, both human and animal, it's in the stone altars. Why can I say this, man? It's like my brain's not functioning. Wake up. Enigmatic. I can't say it, man. It does not want to do it.
Now I'm trying to say it in my head, and I'm like, no, I can't say it.
Enigmatic. It's so funny because like there'll be a, I don't know. I did drink last night pretty heavily, so.
After Tom telling everybody 5 minutes ago, I'm packing out the drinking.
I got to get it out now. So Stone Altars, supposedly twisted between the trees. Enigmatic. I don't know, man. I'm dead. Whatever. I can't say it right now. There's also old Celtic tales that tell of the druids using the area to open up actual gateways to the other worlds. Indeed, there have been found unexplained stone altars, circular trenches, and other ancient ruins within the forest, although their purpose, whether these were built by druids, are unclear. And, you know, you have the idea of druids or, you know, these ancient peoples trying to contact spirits that exist beyond this physical realm. Like, there is many stories of this, of people sacrificing things to these old pagan gods or connecting with elementals, which are essentially creatures that exist in another dimension that actually are supposed to help the land, the forest. They are protectors of the land, the trees, the elements of the earth, right? That's the whole idea of what elementals are. And there's ancient stories that go back, you know, centuries of this.
I have had a friend whose dad was a pagan witch.
Yeah, I think you've said that. That's wild.
Yeah. In like more modern times, like within like the last like 10 years or whatever.
Did he dress up like I am in a hood and then just...
Kind of, yeah. They dressed up in these like weird robes. I don't remember any of them ever having hoods, but I do remember them wearing like a crown of thorns and like having these little golden daggers and like dancing around with like the daggers over their head and stuff around bonfires and shit.
And you just showed up and you're like, you know, it's like watching, like opening the door and seeing your dad in like some drag costume. And you're like, what the fuck?
It's just such a weird, like, I remember when he first came out with it and he was quite like funny about the whole thing. He was like, you know, people were like, oh, group of friends or whatever. And like, you know, I don't know, we were like drinking one night or something and people were sharing different stories. And like one guy was like, oh yeah, well, at least your dad's not a fucking deadbeat and all my dad left when I was a kid and blah, blah, blah. And then he's kind of going around the group and then this dude just comes out and goes, yeah, well, at least your dad isn't a witch.
At least your dad's not naked in the forest dancing around a fire with a bunch of other dudes wearing some weird cloaked hoods sucking each other off. Like, I'm not saying that that's what happened, but it'd be so funny.
And like, it was just all like, everybody burst out laughing. You're like, wait, what? And like just how he explained the whole thing, he was like, yes, I've recently found out my dad is a fucking witch, if you can believe that.
I just think it would be funny if he like walked in to his dad's room and he has dick tucked between his leg with a bunch of candles, wearing a robe and being like, goodbye, horses. That's how I summon the druids. That's how I summon the ancient spirits and the elementals, is I have to sing goodbye, horses, with my dick tucked between my legs like Buffalo Bill.
I will say, though, I've always been fascinated by the idea of, like we said, forests and more so, you know, like all these stories of like shadow people or cults or like sacrifices and rituals and things like that. And the same when it comes to, I suppose, like media and movies and things. I've always been drawn to stories about stuff like that. You know, like Late Night with the Devil, like things like House of the Devil and stuff. I don't know. I like the idea of that. And I always kind of, as grim as it sounds, I always kind of want to believe that like it's somewhat based on like reality, even though that's kind of fucked up to say.
But it kind of is, though. There is, oh, my candle went out. Oh, whatever. That's weird. The candle went out. But the, where's my, I have a cinematic one now. Candle shouldn't have went out, so that's kind of weird. But this, they definitely do practice rituals, and there's definitely stuff like this taking place in our reality, in our world, for sure. And not just to mention the satanic deadbeats, I think it's cool to, and I've seen videos of this, I was looking it up, and this weird nerdy guy's like in the forest with his friends, and he's just walking around a fire being like, and we summon the ancient spirits of Lucifer, whatever he was saying, I don't know, he looked like a kid that I would beat up in high school. And he was just like, and I'm like, there's that one where it's like they're messing around with stuff that they don't even understand. And the time that I've spent messing around with the Ouija board when I was younger, I definitely felt like I was invoking stuff that I shouldn't be. And it was taking hold of me and I got obsessed with it. So I couldn't imagine the people that have gone deeper in that dark hole is, and then summoning Satan or Baal or some sort of like these ancient, entities that could go by many names, you know, and then you're invoking something to come into this reality. And there's tales of this, of people, you know, getting what they want, right, in this reality, but then they die a horrible death or they get tortured in the afterlife or all these kind of spooky stories. I think the elites, quotations, the parasites that run this world are definitely connecting to some sort of dark entities and are probably doing rituals like this in ley lines, like in points where there's that electromagnetic energy, and they focus in on certain places like this forest, right, that already has, you know, something that like dark history with the druids coming in doing their rituals. So people will show up and then they will do rituals trying to invoke the spirits that already exist in some of these places, right?
And I've always heard stories like over the years, and I suppose it's only later in life I've started like actually think about these things. But, you know, especially over here, I would always hear stories of like things like the Banshee.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. That's like, supposed to be something we were supposed to be afraid of as kids. And I've also heard like countless stories from even like local areas around here and then like throughout the country of, you know, there's a lot of history here. And like, there's a lot of those, like, you know, old forts, old stone formations, yeah, and things like that. Like, there's even a local forest here. It's actually where they shot the beach invasion for Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, that's funny! Really weird.
Yeah, it's one, supposedly one of the most famous beaches in the world, Coraclough. But there's a forest attached to that, and it kind of goes out in like this weird peninsula out into the sea.
Yeah.
And like when you're walking through it, you can see all these like strange like trenches and different things, and it makes me wonder. Weird. I'm like, you know, maybe it wasn't just some bullshit that granny would tell you.
It was real.
Yeah.
That's scary stuff.
You think about it, right? That there is definitely stuff like this happening. I do believe it, even if it's people just, you know, messing around and not realizing what they're doing. But that's the freakiest thing, like the fairy mounds that people believe are real, that they're like a portal to like the underworld, or a different reality that exists. And I don't know, I've seen some video footage back in the day, like searching through YouTube, like, you know, when you'd just be scared in your room at night and just like scrolling through YouTube on a computer, or when phones first got developed, smartphones. And I've seen some compelling videos where I'm like, why would you spend the money to create this, especially back then, because it was, it's not like today, it would have cost a lot of money. And you see like people in a forest and they catch like a little weird little fairy thing that's like flying in the air. And Guillermo del Toro has done a good job in that one movie where the little girl is like, you think it's like a haunting, but it's actually like fairies in this house. It's, I thought he did a good job.
Afraid of the Dark.
Yeah. I actually liked that movie. I would like to revisit it. And stuff like that would be cool for Class Horrorcast. So we'll get there. So the stories of druids lurking in the Ballybody Forest have continued right up into modern times, with frequent reports of encounters with four ghostly robe figures believed to be the ghost of druids of the past. These figures always have faces covered by their hoods and are seen to watch visitors, only to vanish in thin air. At times, they are said to carry with them the spectral burning torches and to circle around campsites at night, evaporating into the ether just as suddenly as they came. On occasion, stone altars can be seen with smoke rising from them, but no fire. The area penetrated by screams of long dead humans and animal victims, often said to sound reminiscent of an abattoir. I don't know what that is. Is that like a
slaughterhouse?
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Abattoir? Interesting. Yeah. Why do you know that? Did you work at a slaughterhouse?
No, abattoir. I didn't, but abattoir, that's the air attraction thing I was talking about.
Yes.
There's a house that we like developed this year and they wanted to call it the abattoir. And I was like, why?
Oh, interesting. And they
were like, because like we work on an old farm and they were like, oh yeah, there used to be an abattoir here on the land. And I was like, what the fuck? I pretended like I knew what it was. And I was like, what the hell is an abattoir? Why does everyone keep saying that? And then it turns out one of the guys was like, yeah, that's basically just an old name for a slaughterhouse.
Interesting. That's creepy. And that would be, that's a scary thought, right? Hearing like sounds like that coming from a forest and
screaming, like squeals and stuff.
Yeah, that's scary. And like I said, one of the scariest scenes I think in, especially when I was a kid and watching Blair Witch Project, where they were in the tent and they hear the children laughing and the tent's like moving, that like scared me like shitless when I was a kid. Like I pooped my pants.
And I would do exactly what they done, where at first they're all looking at each other going, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then it's just like, okay, what else can we do when you just open the tent and just run in any direction?
I know. And then you'd want to like stay together, but like, I would be like, I don't know, swinging a machete or something. And then that would be the craziest thing, is set up a movie like that where everybody's scared. And you've seen it in other movies, but they're like all scared. And then somebody gets shot or like an axe is thrown at someone's head by accident. And then it causes more chaos. And because people do crazy things within fear, right? When they're scared.
And it's funny, like, because in that, and probably similar, I don't know if it gets brought up in the ritual, but it's that idea of, like, which one is worse? They come up with the idea of, in the Blair Witch, I think it's Josh who mentions it, the guy with the ponytail. And, you know, he talks about, he's like, yeah, look, I think some people heard we were coming out here to shoot some dumbass documentary about a witch and the locals are fucking with us and blah, blah, blah. And then as the whole thing progresses, you kind of wonder, it's like, okay, so if this is some weird supernatural thing, that's scary as fuck. And if it isn't some weird supernatural thing and it's like some creeps that are out in the woods following me for days on end,
yes,
and like have sounds of kids laughing and like doing all that shit, that's equally as unsettling to me. So I'm like, neither of the answers here are that great.
No, I wouldn't want people following me around and messing with me and thinking it's hilarious. Like, not good. So
I've even heard that mentioned though about this forest.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, if you like kind of dive into this place, there's a lot of apparent, I don't know, like real life experiences or whatever, where people post like experiences they've had when they were younger or years ago. And it's like all these detailed things. You'll see some of them on Reddit and stuff. And there's people that always comment on it going, yeah, just to play devil's advocate, maybe like there was people in the local area or guys, whatever, in the local area that like obviously know the lore.
Yeah.
And just like done shit like this for fun. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. That's maybe a plausible answer, but that's like as unsettling.
Yeah. Realistically though, if we lived close enough together and we wanted to create content and we had night vision cameras, will we not dress up like I am with hoods and then just try to scare the living shit out of people? For like, that would be funny content because we're filming on our end, but then it's like, do you get in the idea of like harassment and laws and stuff like that, of like you're just doing this for content, scaring the living shit out of like some teenagers?
But like you said though, like the idea of that, like let's say me and you went into a forest anywhere, like a big huge forest that has some like creepy history or whatever, and we're camping, the idea that there's like people following us to scare the shit out of us, whether they have ill intent or not, I don't think I'd be thinking about that if I was stuck in the middle of a massive forest. I'd be like, holy fuck, we're going to get murdered.
Yeah, I know, right? That's, your mind would go there. Especially in the dark, things are different within the dark. I don't know. There's like this veil that comes over. So one of the modern accounts of these mysterious figures is on the site UK Wildman, where the witnesses explained that he had been out camping and mountaineering trip in 2005 with a group of fellow high school students. They were there on a church-sponsored field trip where they would hike and camp for a few days. One night, they spent camping out in the Ballyboodie Forest, and there was several other groups at the campsite nearby. At a point during the evening, some weird events allegedly began to play out when some other campers began shouting that there were some dark figures moving about in the end of the nearby firebreak, which is a long trek of treeless land for the purpose of slowing down forest fires. Some of them went to investigate, thinking it might be somebody lost, but turns out there was no sign of anyone there at all. Things would get odder still when they returned to their camp and tried to put their minds at ease, which didn't end up working. The witness said, "We were gathering around a gas stove having a hot chocolate when someone noticed some kind of movement down at the end, the far end break of the fire break. This time, the figure had been previously sighted were holding some kind of torches, but this is where it got a bit stranger. Rather than modern torches or mag lights, the figure seemed to be holding what were either branches that had been set on fire or some kind of oil lanterns that you held out in front of you. We counted four of these figures. This is important to remember. Someone later that night who lived out on a farm would therefore know a little bit about this, claimed that after the figures vanished, they could hear sounds like that of a slaughterhouse in the distance, echoing cries and squeals of animals. Needless to say, after the figures vanished, our young imaginations ran wild, and we began to assume the worst about what was happening. In a small and very religious country like Northern Ireland, you are brought up hearing stories of witchcraft and devil worship that supposedly take place in the secluded forest. It took a lot of discussion and freaking out before we decided that someone should ring the nearest teacher with our group's emergency mobile phone. But eventually, more rational voices began to pipe up and assured that the more frantic campers that it was probably just a group in the forest. The firebreak stretch was far back and about only a kilometer. We decided the best course of action was for everyone to go to their tents, keep torches handy, and stick together. The next morning, Save for a few rumors of figures and lights being seen running around the tents, we laughed it off and carried on the expedition.
Seeing a bunch of torches when I'm in a tent, see, and that's the idea of what happened in like the Blair Witch, of being sealed in something that's not very strong. It's not a structure. It is just, it's you sitting inside of there's only fabric, a little bit of fabric separating you from the chaos and terror out in this forest, separating you from the elements, from wild animals, from druids, from ghosts and spookies and stuff, you know?
Yeah. And it's like that idea of like, for some reason, there's like that false sense of security of being like, okay, I've zipped myself into a tent or whatever. Yeah. So I should be fine so long as it can't actually physically see me. It's like, well, clearly, like, you're in the middle of this area. Have you heard any of the stories of, like, some of the massacres and stuff that supposedly took place and, like, different local legends, I guess, about it?
I don't know if we'll get to that. No, I don't think so.
Do you want me to dive into some of that?
Yeah, because I think I have more of the idea of this being kind of, like, a portal. But like, that's why it's so scary, man. Cause like, you know, everyone can, whatever, anyone that's out there listens to the show or watches, you can like, everyone thinks they're a tough guy and I'll stand up to the government or whatever. Even I do that to some extent. And like, you know, I don't like what's going on. There's power in numbers for sure. But most, even the strongest, most buff, fearless men out there would definitely probably run screaming if they encountered some sort of ghostly figures or druids in the forest, or even the idea of a bear, man. The scare, oh, man, I couldn't imagine being in tent and you hear like this. Just like around your tent of something sniffing out your food or whatever. Like, and there's people that obviously have fallen asleep and then woke up and their whole campsite is destroyed by a bear while they were sleeping. Stuff like that is just as scary. And that's something that's real. So I couldn't imagine the idea that there's maybe local figures of people going into the forest to summon whatever, some satanic groups, you know, that think it's either cool, or people that are actually very serious about what they're doing, or the idea that these are lingering spirits that have existed within these ley lines or these places that are focal points of portals, maybe, that open up into different dimensions, because there's a possibility that there's place like this forest and others that are a focal point for the veil to unlift, to reveal itself to our eyes that are we're only sitting on a frequency that we can see like 10% of the actual reality, right? So either way, it's scary. Real or not real, animals or druids or ghosts, it is scary.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, I feel like in situations like this and stories and stuff, there's no real like, okay, aside from the people who say, oh, it's all bullshit, it's not real.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's remove that then. It is something, and like, none of it, in my opinion, is like good.
It's not, in either way, it's not, it doesn't set your mind at ease.
Like, and it's it's the same idea of going out into the middle of the ocean on a boat, right? It's just you and the elements. That's it. So unless you're like right next to the opening of the forest, and eventually, obviously, if we're able to take this show on the road and I'm able to come to Ireland, you can come to Canada, maybe the world calms down a bit and we go into a place that is a little more peaceful than what we're supposedly entering into in the next couple of years, 10 years, when we're reaching towards the parasitic goals of these evil people. It would be cool because I would definitely go with you. I would venture into a scary forest. I would be scared, but I just feel like as long as we stuck together and we brought a couple of weapons, I feel like we'd be okay.
Yeah, to like make a blood pact or something. Yeah. Like, okay, when shit hits the fan, we just need to like either die together or be like sacrificed.
Just
at the
tie
same time.
Rope to each other and shit. And be like, okay, I'm going this way. We're going together, right? Because you have to do stuff like that in situations, or people literally get lost, especially within the dark. So it's a good idea to have those.
Work that would be to be like, let's say we were in the middle of somewhere like this, and something were to happen, and both of us were to like jump out of the tent or whatever and run different directions. And then, you know, when like things, that initial adrenaline dump or whatever goes off, and you feel like things have become safe again, and then you realize, wait, I've just ran for like 10 minutes in the opposite direction of the only other person that's out here with me, and now I can't find them and I can't find my way back and it's dark. So this is like infinitely worse now.
Well, and it's interesting. I just watched the movie The Watchers, which is based in Ireland. I didn't mind it. I feel like it could have gone different directions, but for and my Shyamalan's daughter's first movie, I thought it was decent. It wasn't bad. The folklore aspects of it are interesting, and they're stuck in this forest and they find this little cabin kind of thing, and they realize that these like elemental fairy entities are watching them at night, and they have to like do stuff to entertain them, or they're most likely going to kill them. And it's such a weird concept, but like it does definitely tap on the door of some of these thoughts of the fairies not being this like wonderful thing like Tinkerbell. Eventually I do have episodes ready to go more about that, about me and Billy dived into it. So if you're watching this and you've never heard that episode, it's pretty funny. Me and Billy dive into the whole idea of fairies and that, you know, human beings were abducted by them and replaced. They replaced the elder fairies with the babies that they steal. Like this idea that fairies are these nice creatures that are going to help you, and they're just like these beautiful little is not most times all the stories are pretty frightening. So yeah, dive in some of the murder aspects of it. Cause I didn't know. Yeah. I heard kind of slightly that there was some kind of true crime aspects to this, that there was murders that were happening. And obviously once you have barren open forests like this, people do use these to dump bodies and stuff, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know what the implication here was, but I had seen, and there's nothing like that's concrete. It's all like from so long ago that like, I don't know if the intention is to make out that there's a true crime aspect or something more supernatural at play. It kind of, this like story that I'm going to read for a second kind of reminds me of the idea of, if you remember back to something like the Blair Witch, when they tell the story of Coffin Rock, where like the fishermen's bodies were all laid out on the rock. And then when they went back to collect them 2 or 3 days later, the bodies were gone, but the place was marked with blood. And it's kind of like that. So one of the most talked about incident associated with the forest says that 4 men ventured into forest to investigate rumors of strange occurrences. The story goes that these men were not only searching for answers, but also intended to clear paths in the forest for farmland. What they found was far more sinister. Local accounts suggest that screams were heard from deep within the forest that day, but none of the men were seen alive again. Their mutilated bodies were discovered several days later, arranged in a grotesque pattern and showing signs of savage violence. Their deaths were never fully explained, and many speculated that they had interrupted an ancient ritual or disturbed spirits in the forest that day. After this event, locals began to fear the forest even more, referring to it as a cursed place. People reported seeing ghostly apparitions in the trees, strange lights that would disappear as quickly as they appeared, and hearing disembodied voices whispering in the darkness.
Scary, man. Freaky. Freaky. Like, That's what I'm like, and this is coming out in November, just after Halloween, but we're still in October when we're recording this, and it definitely, all this stuff definitely gets me in the vibe. It is weird because we only essentially get 4 episodes to release within October, at least on the audio platforms and stuff like that, of diving into the Halloween season. You know, eventually maybe if we are able to live off this show, you'll be getting like 2 episodes a week or something like that. It might be feasible if we ever get to that point. So that's why you support the show. But there's so much of the stuff that I want to talk about. And obviously my brain goes to the whole conspiracy stuff that I'm very fascinated by and want to dive down these rabbit holes that are very controversial and most people don't want to talk about. But this is the fun aspects of the show, is that I do like doing this, the content and the stories that are just entertaining and fun and weird to ponder if some of these things actually do exist within our reality. And especially I want to talk about ley lines, because I've mentioned that a couple times at some point, because there's a lot of places on this earth that lay on these lines, they call them, where they're these focal points of this energy that weird things happen, UFOs, all sorts of stuff. So, and a similar report comes from 1997, where 2 witnesses claimed to have been walking through the forest when they heard a flapping sound. Some it's just some hermit guy. Some it's a woodland creature just jerking off in the, you know.
It's Larry Murphy. If anyone can remember that throwback of who Larry Murphy is.
Who's Larry Murphy?
The guy that was associated with Ireland's Vanishing Triangle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the way throwback.
Murderer, dude.
It's Leprechaun. He's sitting in the trees, and you look up, and he's, like, coming on the top of your head. And you're like, what the fuck, nice. Man? which they tried to ignore, as it was a trick of the wind. As they continued through the forest and the trees, they claimed that there was soon... they were assailed by the sounds of what sounded like a woman screaming and moaning in agony. I
don't know. Yikes, I don't know about that now.
Can you do it? Do it with that one. Yo, even that. Have you heard that, like, in the middle of a forest?
I would shit my pants.
I know. The idea of, like, the high-pitched kind of squealing voice is kind of scary. And, it, like, I do want to dive into the Banshee. There's, near St. Paddy's Day, we'll do something really fun. Something to do with the Irish folklore. So this seems to get louder as the increasingly panicked men pick up their pace through the woods. Then they purportedly found themselves coming upon a tree that looked to be covered with blood, seemingly fresh, just smeared all over the bark. Yet there was no sign of anyone else there, and the screamings had stopped to leave silence crashing down upon them. The grisly sight of the blood sent the men scrambling to get out, as they did claim that they seen 4 figures, another 4 figures, dressed in ragged brown hooded cloaks, standing at the tree line watching them. And that is frightening, to see blood and then to see, and you're just like, and you get out of the forest, you're like, whoa, what the fuck was that sound, man? And then you see just guys standing there with like their hoods on, you can't really see their face. It's like very weird, man. Creepy.
Have you ever seen The Kill List?
No.
So you should definitely put that on your watch list. Okay. I'm not going to tell you anything else about it. I just need you to look at it. I think it's from 2011. It's a UK movie. Just watch it. Don't look up anything about it. Just look at it.
Okay.
And have you ever seen The Empty Man?
No.
From 2020, I think it was. Another, yeah, like, really, really creepy, weird, like, strange. There's a couple of scenes that... what you just said, there's a scene in specific, and every time I see it in The Empty Man, I find like I go, and I don't know why, but I like hold my breath. He comes across some kind of a ritual thing, and it's just, this doesn't really spoil it because I think it's actually in the trailer, but he thinks he's being quiet and he's like looking at them from afar.
Yeah.
He's like on the other side of like a little river and there's a bridge coming across. And he like sees them doing some sort of ritual around some kind of fire. And then he goes to like back out of wherever he is and like move away. And he steps on a branch and it cracks. And everything, there's probably about maybe 50, 60 people in these robes. And the minute the branch breaks, every single one of them stop chanting and they all turn.
Oh, weird.
And look at him. And like, he's like, he doesn't move for a second, and they don't, like, nobody moves, and it's just like dead quiet. And then he takes one step back again. And as he takes one step back, they take one step forward.
I don't like that.
And as he's up and out of nowhere, all these dudes start fucking running. And like, they're running through the water, they're running across the bridge at like full tilt in these yokes. It is the freakiest shit.
Yeah, you have to send me like a list, because like, I'm like, I want to start diving. I've watched actually, I've pretty been consistent this October of really watching a bunch of different horror movies, especially stuff that I haven't seen. So I definitely want to check out some other stuff. Yeah, so they see the four. What?
What you say?
Well, they see the dress, the four hooded cloaks standing in the tree line. Were you going to add anything?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say that, like, again, look, you can take all this stuff with a grain of salt, but, like, these are supposed, like, I don't know, eyewitness accounts from, like, locals and stuff over the years. More, like, I suppose generic, but I don't know if it adds to the story or, like, shows any more. But visitors often report an overwhelming sense of dread upon entering the forest. Many have claimed to hear eerie, unnatural sounds, such as rustling of leaves when there's no wind, whispers when there's no one else around, and even blood-curdling screams in the distance. There have also been reports of strange sightings, ghostly figures, shadowy apparitions darting between the trees, and even the faces of children appearing amongst the grass.
No, thank you.
A reoccurring tale in the area is that of a spectral woman dressed in white who wanders the forest. Witnesses say she appears suddenly, her face contorted in anguish before vanishing into thin air.
That's
in addition,
scary stuff.
Mysterious disappearances have been linked to the forest. Hikers and locals claim that the people that enter may never return. While this could be attributed to the dense and confusing landscape, the sheer number of missing persons associated with the forest has led many to believe that something far more sinister is at play.
That's creepy, man. That's creepy. So
I don't know. It's just like, I feel like where there's smoke, there's fire. Like,
I know. So obviously, perhaps maybe, you know, these ghostly phenomenons or various or other oddities that campers and hikers have reported in the area. The overwhelming sense of being watched is very common, and sudden bouts of panic and, you know, being disoriented, often accompanied by, you know, physical symptoms such as headaches, nosebleeds, nausea, and fainting. These episodes are sometimes reported together with incidences of missing time. We hear this a lot in places like this, or of witnesses suddenly finding themselves in a part of the different part of the forest for no discernible reason. The forest also reportedly has zones where they can enter and they find all the sounds of the forest cease completely. This is like the Russian silent zone or whatever. It's this place where you go into, it's this like area and it's like dead silence. There's no sound. It's very freaky.
Isn't that supposed to as well? I don't know. I don't mean to cut you off here, but isn't the idea of I don't know if this is actually a thing, but you know, like, isn't there a room somewhere in the world that they created and it's like the most silent place on earth, whatever?
Doesn't
like silence drive you crazy after a while or something? Isn't there something to that?
Yeah, there's, I can't remember where that is, but they built like a room or something like that, that in, there's also the M zone, I think it's called, in Russia, where it's like completely silent. It's so weird, dude. That would freak me out.
The only reason I brought it up was because I don't know if it was just like a marketing thing or whatever, but I had seen something about like, apparently people can't last like more than a couple of minutes in that room. And it kind of, I suppose it adds to the freakiness of this story. Like the idea of being in a forest, and if it is completely silent like that, you probably would start to like
go insane.
I don't want to say like, kind of, I don't know, hallucinate or like just like really freak out like and make everything 100 times worse.
Yeah, and that's what it would drive you probably crazy, because you wouldn't know where you were or what was happening, right? And there's these zones, leaving nothing but a blanket of utter and unbroken silence, and there's areas that will exhibit sudden massive fluctuations of temperature. What is going on here? Why should a place like this hold such power? Besides strange phenomenon and robed ghosts, there's also been very bizarre reports of creatures in the forest that are only described as something much like a Bigfoot. And this is why maybe these are portals in places where some of these because people are like, you know, think that Bigfoot is just a creature that has existed for a long time, is able to last. But there's also a lot of people that think that he's from a different reality, and he kind of just, like aliens and some of these UFOs that just snap into our reality and outside of our reality because they're existing on a different frequency. Despite what you may think, large hairy hominids have been sighted all over the world, and the UK is actually no different, with an absurd amount of reports such as creatures, including even Northern Ireland and the Ballyboy.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Forrest, the Irish version of Bigfoot is commonly drunk and will beat any, I'm just kidding, just beat any passerbyers. He's known as the Grog Grunch. That's a fun one. Gruaginch. Weird.
Never heard of it.
The Gruaginch. It's like, so weird. He's green though. He's like the Grinch, but he's like a Bigfoot. Because look at the Grinch, right? Especially the Jim Carrey one. Yeah. He kind of could be like a Bigfoot creature, you know?
You could make him pretty scary as well.
Well, I know. Easily. We watched that horrible, that's on Patreon, everybody, that horrible Grinch movie. It's so bad. I actually wish we watched that with people. It would have been more fun. Weird.
Yeah.
Supposedly this has been seen all over Northern Ireland for centuries, working its way into the region lore in the process.
There's also, like, I suppose it ties into that. And again, look, these are all just hearsay, I suppose. Yeah. Like, we have no concrete evidence, like, but I think it lends credence to, like, maybe some of this actually being true. There's a lot of locals, I guess, who said that they've experienced time distortions in the forest and surrounding area. People reporting, like, losing hours, finding that what felt like only minutes spent wandering through the trees had actually turned into hours when they came out on the other side. People described the forest, like you said, as having an unnatural silence where no animals make sounds and the usual noises of the forest seem to completely disappear. There's lots of, you mentioned earlier about videos on YouTube and stuff, paranormal investigators. You know, a lot of them say it's a hotspot for electromagnetic disturbances, temperature drops, inexplicable equipment malfunctions. Photographs taken in the forest sometimes reveal strange lights or shadowy figures that weren't visible to the naked eye. Because of its dark history and terrifying reputation, while growing up in the area, myself and many locals avoid the forest entirely, even now in daylight. We consider it a place of foreboding where the past continues to linger and where ancient curses still hold sway. Whether it's the echoes of pagan rites, the ghosts of the murdered, or darker entities beyond our comprehension, for us here, the forest remains one of the most mysterious and haunted places we've ever experienced, a place where horror is woven into the very fabric of the land. The forest has earned its reputation as a place where it's best to tread lightly, if at all, honestly, as the spirits do not take kindly to trespassers, it seems.
What's with the weird gay huddle going on over there?
Let me put my arm over here.
What's gay about it? It's two guys talking in a corner, dude.
Yeah, but
why are you such a homophobe? You're always like, oh, that's gay, man. Oh, look at that gay huddle. Look at that gay dog.
Dude, like, that is so gay.
See? I love gay people, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
No,
which
I'm
is why you're a homophobe.
It's like, see the druids? You're like, what's with that gay huddle going on over there? It's like, why is it gay? Just because there are two guys... Have you seen Jay and Silent Bob, right?
Yeah, so funny.
It's just like, I just thought about that with like, if you're just like walking in the forest and you see all these guys huddling in a corner, you're like, what the fuck is that shit, man? What's that gay huddle going on? Why is it gay, man? It's two guys talking in a corner. It's so funny. Yeah, so there is weird stories of like Bigfoot and people describing an immense ape-like humanoid in this forest, including campers reporting the sounds of howls from a beast, even wood knocking. That's how Bigfoot supposedly communicates. A behavior known in the North American Sasquatch, wherein the creature apparently bangs on trees or logs and makes intimidating noises. One reports of the Bigfoot-like creature in the forest comes to us from the site of Cryptozoology News. Seems pretty legit. And supposedly happened in 1998. The witness, Caroline Breen, says she was walking dogs up at the Ballybody Forest with her husband when they came up upon a patch of dead trees. Spied something big crouching behind it. Her husband stepped a little closer to take a look when the witness described the whole scene. We thought at first it was a human, but it raised its head in the air. We saw it. The dogs got agitated. I told them to step back. He thought it was a chimpanzee or something. How the fuck did I get that here? He got even closer, to within 15 feet or so, and it was then that he reared up on his hind legs. It was very tall, and it was carrying a big stick. It ran so fast through those trees, like it had done so many times before. I don't know if it was a Bigfoot, but my husband didn't think we got those types of things in Ireland. The beast was described as having a face like a chimpanzee, covered dark brown fur, as it was standing around 8 feet in height. If there was some sort of hairy ape-like man that was reported in the area of Northern Ireland in the British Isles, then what could it be? It seems rather ridiculous to think that something immense, hairy, prototype human could be roaming through the woods of Britain, yet the stories continue to come in, and one is inclined to wonder whether there's anything really biological in nature at all, but rather something interdimensional, seeping through the folds between the worlds, something more spiritual and ghostly.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
So
that's scary stuff.
So the Ballybooley Forest had some things in common with other far-flung cursed forests of the world, and what we, in these eccentric mix of various very odd phenomenon, that for whatever reason have been managed to, they just kind of get created here in this one spot, these many different stories all surrounding this forest. What should this be? Is there some sort of immense quality to this ancient forest that draws it to these forces as these energy lines or some powers that tether these things together? Of course, as with other regions of the world with similar phenomenon, there is the idea that this could be the result of an overactive imagination or possibly some natural phenomenon such as ultra-low frequency sounds, also known as infrasounds, which can result in distortions and hallucinations. In the end, we are left with a place that has managed to accrue various tales of bizarre stories over the centuries, and perhaps the only way to really know what's going on is to go experience it for yourself. It is another quaint, creepy forest holding the mysteries that will probably live on no matter what the answers may be. And then there's a claim that it's like essentially a portal to like the underworld, the Celtic underworld that, you know, and we'll eventually talk about it. I do want to do some episodes diving, an episode or whatever, maybe near next Halloween or sometime in the fall, is discuss about the ancient druids and, you know, them connecting with fairies or the elementals. And a lot of people claim that that's what this could be, right? That they're connecting to these ancient pagan gods that I feel like definitely exist in some regard, you know?
Yeah, like there's, again, like these are all just things I found on the internet, so it could be just anybody saying anything. Yeah. but yeah, they talk a lot about like ground markings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A lot of people mentioned natural footpaths that appear to be part of the forest.
What's that? It's like foot markings of feet?
No, like as in like actual like kind of walkways that seem to have just naturally.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Weren't created by anybody, right?
Yeah, which seems like somebody here says that let me see, where is this?
It's just Bigfoot knocking down trees with that big stick he's walking around with. He's like, I need to get through here.
Yeah, so the forest had been opened up by the national park by the local council. Different pathways had been installed and laid down for walking routes, but it seems that very few people ever really visit the area. In fact, no one ever goes there anymore. And I think it's because of the fair few modern events in the forest that have given the place a creepy reputation. Then they say, in addition to this, there seems to be ground markings that are also rumored to be natural footpaths in parts of the forest. Although I cannot myself confirm this, I have heard it from several different people who are said to visit the area. It is said the forest contains a gateway to what we here now know as the other world.
Weird.
I've also been told by some locals and some of the older people that they get a feeling that there is something in the forest that will watch you anytime you get near or enter it. There's so many stories I've heard over the years of superstitions about the place. How many are true, I can only guess, but something has definitely happened up there to scare all the local people and give that place such a strange and unsettling reputation.
I do love these topics because I feel like I'd like dancing around, right, of different subjects, but there is so much there's so much haunted and paranormal places and experiences that people have had that's why I'm like, no, there's people that can brush it away as nonsense or just overactive imaginations, but there's too many people that are sharing the same experience, and that's why I tend to believe it. And I've had my own experiences where I think that these things are very possible and that we live in this dense reality that's only dense because molecules are pushed together, you know, essentially, right? And that we don't see ultraviolet, gamma rays, these things that like cameras that we've developed are able to pick up. Or other means, so like electric phenomenon, you know.
You said that earlier on, and I was like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Billy always used to do that phenomenon, da 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 da, phenomenon. So funny, but it is weird, right? And we'll start diving into some of these, paranormal stories, doing like smaller episodes because I have a lot that are 2-3 hours, So I want to try to slide in some of these really fun episodes because I have a bunch of stuff that we want to get into. And I just stumbled upon this, and I thought, oh, this is kind of perfect. There is a lot of stories throughout Ireland too, and we'll get into stuff within Canada also in the United States, but there's a ton of folklore surrounding Ireland considering it's been around for so long and Europe in general, right? So I actually really did enjoy this. It's very freaky and weird, and I've always had a more or less kind of that fear of camping and forests and getting lost, even natural things, like I'm saying, like things within nature, bears, creepy crows, you're just like, you're in their realm, right? You're in their territory. Wolves. And I saw a video of this guy, and it's in Quebec, and it's called like, it's like a watching window, but you can rent like an Airbnb or whatever, especially around certain times. And the wolves will like come right up to the window and like be howling and stuff. And like the one video I saw is this guy, there's like maybe 12 wolves, like right near the window, all howling together and like looking at him through the window. And it looks freaky, man.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm about that, to be honest.
So crazy. So, we hope everybody enjoyed themselves. There'll be definitely... I'm itching to get into some really deep rabbit holes on the show, and we will be venturing down there. But there's also a lot of fun content. Like, I do have a lot of fun paranormal episodes. I think it's time that me and Aaron do saddle up to cover another serial killer. I have a bunch of different ideas of who we could cover, but I think it's about time that we get into some, because it seems to be our forte. We really can dive down in those kind of trenches, you could say, of murder and mayhem. And I have a couple of ideas of stuff that we could get into. So I'm excited for that. Everybody out there, support the show, you know, like, subscribe, share it to your friends. I know that I'm very aware that we are quite shadow banned on YouTube. A couple of years ago, this content would have gone everywhere. But it's sad to say that we definitely are shadow banned to some extent. But that's why you support Rumble. Rumble is a very good platform. I think it should replace YouTube at some point if YouTube does not lift this censorship that they're trying to pull over everybody. Because everyone's been using it for so long, but now with Rumble, you can get it on your TV, you can get it on your phone. I think it's a superior app. You know when people are going live, it gives you good notifications. So very much support that. And if you want to support the show, Patreon, there's a bunch of fun stuff. We can watch along with us when we talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Next Generation, really weird, bizarre movie, or Leatherface is a tranny. And there's a bunch of other stuff. And I'll be adding even more older episodes that have been since taken down, that the beginning of the show that will be up on there. So that's a way you support us. And I don't shout this out as often, but obviously follow us on Instagram, on X. It's Strange Brew Cast on X. I appreciate anybody that tries to go out of their way to follow us on all social media and kind of keep up with the show. 5-star rate and reviews if you're listening. And then buy merch, man. We have a very cool design for the logo, and you can get a bunch of fun stuff on the merch site. And every episode, whether you listen or watch, you can find the link tree in the bottom. So click it. You can subscribe to my music, my YouTube, all that stuff too. Our Instagrams are on there. So make sure to check it out. Any final closing thoughts, my boy?
Do everything that Tom said, or we won't like you anymore.
Obviously, and check out Class Horrorcast, because there's a bunch of fun stuff that we just keep throwing around ideas. I want to do this. And then Aaron's like, I want to do this. And we're like, there's so much on both ends. And that's why I do get excited. And we mentioned, like, oh, we're going to get into this and that. But I'm not going to stop. There's so much stuff to cover. There's so many dark and deep rabbit holes to go down within the show. And we have I have a couple of interesting guests that have been on the show that you'll hear after this episode. So make sure to tune in, and we appreciate anybody that does watch and listen and spread the news, spread the strangeness around, you know, do it.
Do it. Subscribe to Strange Brew Podcast.
There we go. All right, everybody. Stay strange out there, everybody, because it's only going to get stranger.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant, Sweet Tango Apples, guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples, too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.